Welcome and thank you for tuning into Crossroads Church Aspen and our teaching ministry. We are thrilled that you desire to learn more about God and His Word. We also want to encourage you not to make this a substitute for belonging to a local church in your area. We are made for community and to be relationally connected to each other in the body of Christ. Remember, isolation kills, but community builds. We hope this message blesses you and draws you deeper into the community of Christ Church.
How's everybody doing here? Having a good off season? Loving this off-season weather. So yeah, it's great, huh? If you're joining with us, welcome this morning. We've been in this series, getting deeply involved with God and people. And I'm excited about this message this morning. We'll be in the book of Galatians if you want to find your way there. If you have your Bible, as we always encourage everybody to bring your Bible, if you can. We're going to be in Galatians 5 and part of 6 this morning. We're going to talk about freedom. This morning, oh yeah, let me, I almost forgot. The other announcement, starting this Wednesday, 6 o'clock? Yes. 6 o'clock, come and join our ministry team is gathering together on Wednesdays, the second Wednesday of each month, right? Specifically leading up to G3, our G3 conference in the beginning of February. So put that on your calendar. It's when we all gather together. We'll have more about that coming out. It's going to be amazing. But if you are interested, that's going to be a time of gathering together for prayer, for worship, just very simple, and ministry for each other. Just praying for our country or our community, for each other. If you'd like to come and just be a part of that, that is 6 o'clock. This is starting this Wednesday, the second Wednesday, open to everybody. That'll be awesome. Great. Let me ask you, how free are you? How free? Are you living free? We hear this language, you know, I'm free, freedom. But I just throw it out to you just to really contemplate, how free are you? Now, you know, let's put aside politics and living in a free country. Let's just get right down, you know, to it all. How free are you? Are you living free? Let's just bring it back to our body, our soul, our mind. How free do you live? Folks, you know what the good news is? If we really analyze that, all of us deal with more junk that holds us down than we'd ever really realize. Right? And the amazing aspect of the gospel is that Jesus has come to set us truly free. And this is repeated over and over and over again as part of the good news, is He has come to set us free, radically free. And that freedom cannot have real freedom, and all the details of it cannot happen unless we're really free from two big things that we want to focus on this morning, in the book of Galatians, is that Jesus come to set us free from the law. You say, what the heck? This is a little Old Testament. We have to have a little bit of knowledge to understand what that's all about. So let me just kind of try to bring it down to our, He's come to set us free from the having to do something to make ourselves, what, lovable and acceptable to God. And how does that, if I'm not secure, if I'm not free in that, and the reality is whether you're agnostic, atheist, just go down the line, whatever it is, if I'm not free, really free in understanding my position before God, that I'm not toiling, trying to please Him, you know, it goes horizontal quick, is that my whole life is trying to people please and trying to do, to try to be a good person so that I might be affirmed as a good person. There's less freedom in that than we'd ever realize when we look at the course of just life and our own struggles. So Jesus came to set us free from the do, and the legalism. And really, let me just couch it like this. Jesus came to set us free from religion. Right? Into this freedom of relationship, abandoned as a child of God, knowing its Father, and the law. Jesus came to fulfill all the law. Right, the Old Testament law, the requirements that were laid down. And folks, just one little summary of the Old Testament is it just shows us over and over and over again as you read the history of that is that we can be given all the laws in the world, but listen to this, laws never transform a person. Laws never have the ability to transform people at all. They're just guide rails. Now, I don't have time. but just take that philosophically into our world and government laws and everything. Laws are strictly, and the Bible says that the Old Testament law was laid down as a tutor. It's supposed to lead us to God. It's supposed to lead us into that desperate position of, I'm not free. I'm doing the very thing I don't want to do. I can't do enough good. I can't be enough good to meet that mark. I'm not free. This is the course of history, right? Unfortunately, is that throughout the history, all religion is based on that principle, folks. Do you know that? Every bit of it, except what Jesus came to do. Every bit of it is, here's the system, here's the rules, here's the process of how, hopefully, maybe some religions, you never really know, right? If you ever do, please God, you have to find out in the end, right? Jesus came and he says, I fulfilled it for you. When he died on the cross, he fulfilled every bit of justice, took care of all the wrong, all of the justice for a just, holy God right there on the cross. And at the same time, he poured out this amazing thing called grace, the freedom to say that righteousness, this freedom of understanding, I'm acceptable, I'm loved by God, not by my doing, not by my religious efforts, but by solely by faith of believing in Jesus and what he's done for me. That's revolutionary. And when Paul's writing this to the Galatians, it was revolutionary, especially people who'd lived under the burden of the law. Remember Jesus, the people he got the most angry with were the religious people who kept putting the burden of the law on the people. And we're going to read about that here in just a minute. But there's another aspect of freedom, folks, is that once, and these two things we're talking about this morning are the two primary things that hold us in bondage. And I mean those in the church. Those who call themselves believers, these are the two primary things that keep us bound, and they bring division into the body, and we never lay hold of the abundance and the joyful freedom that Jesus has, right, for his people. The other one, not just freedom from the law and religion and all that, but the other one is the freedom from the power of sin. Freedom from the things, freedom from the flesh is what we're going to read about. Our fleshly desires, it talks about. Folks, we all have them, right? We know this is the course of every evil in the world that takes place is because of out-of-control fleshly desires. And we're all guilty, right? We all have those. We all have flesh patterns, don't we? We all have those things that we just fall easily to temptation. We all have those desires that we know are not healthy for us or anyone else, but that we're drawn into those things, and they can get a hook on us, and they can get us addicted, and they can keep us in bondage. Jesus came to set us free from the power of sin, shame, and guilt. No one in the history of the world has done that except him. And when you get free from the law, understand that you're acceptable and loved by God because of grace and the love of God. And you get set free to understand that you're free from the power of sin and the flesh, and that you can learn to lean into this new power that God gives us, which is the power of the Holy Spirit. Transformation and freedom begin to happen in a radical way. That's the Christian life. Unfortunately, is we tend, and the enemy's involved in this, and in inside church and throughout history, is that there's this force, this battle going on that swings us, keeps trying to, there's people and teachings and religion and others and even our own tendencies that, you know, that put ourselves and try to put us back under religion, under the power of the law. And there's obviously those too that take a cheap grace approach to what God has done and say, well, he'll forgive me. And we never press into the power God's given us to see the transformation in our life, right? And we have this cheap grace and we just continue on not paying attention to our flesh patterns. And all along we move more into bondage than to freedom, right, that God has for us. All right. And so I want to dive into Galatians chapter 5 here and just listen to the word of God. I'm going to preach this. I'm not just going to read it through. I'm going to stop along the way and kind of lay it out for us, because there's a lot here, and I want to cover some territory, and I have a story, and just I hope that this illustration I have at the end will help us kind of get our arms around this freedom and this big question of if we're living truly free or not. All right, Galatians chapter 5, and just a little history. This is Paul. He planted these churches in Galatia, kind of modern-day Turkey area, Asia Minor. And he's writing this letter to them. And he's writing, and this whole the part of the essence of this letter is just this issue of freedom, as we're going to see, because the church was growing, but teachers and other peoples came in, and they started corrupting that freedom, and they started calling the people back to put them back under the law that, oh, you really do need to be circumcised. You really do need to still obey the law to be justified before God. And Paul was harsh against this. This is the corruption of the gospel. And folks, you know what? Just raise a hand. How many of you grew up in somewhat of a, let's just say, legalistic type of church? Yeah, look at those hands, right? And Paul, in this letter, the book of Galatians, was just, we're going to see, he was very harsh because of the danger of that, putting the burden of the law when Jesus has delivered and fulfilled it for us. And you know what, folks? We can do it ourselves. It's amazing. Some of us are more built this way. We are more built with, I feel good if I have laws and if I'm, and it's do, right? That's how we're built. And so our tendency is to suck right into that. Yeah, we got to be doing this. And holiness is check mark, right? The other end of the spectrum, some of us, and I said this cheap grace, the other thing we're going to see here is that Paul wrote to them is for some that freedom that came is they used that freedom, that forgiveness, that free grace gift that God, that Jesus gave us as a license, as an opportunity for the flesh. And this is cheap grace. And honestly, this is where the majority of the church problem is today. I mean, both of these, and they're intimately connected, by the way. Legalism and license are intimately connected. These are the two things that corrupt the gospel throughout history and today in the church. And this one is that we take a cheap grace approach to it. Oh, he'll forgive me. Oh, you know, I'll just show up at church and ask for forgiveness of my sins. Right? And I never progress, right, in learning this, that God wants me to do this communion, right, with the Holy Spirit and to see transformation. So two things, two C's to remember. We'll come back to these. And oftentimes, what this cheap grace approach, as well as the legalistic approach, they corrupt the gospel. Two things are knit together that can never be separated. One is communion with God, fellowship with God, can never be removed from conviction of the Holy Spirit. Here's the reality. This cheap grace side is that, you know what? We want all communion. We want all the blessings of God. We want all his grace. We want all of his acceptance. We want, you know, all of that, the handouts, right? But what we don't want is for the Spirit of God to convict us, right, in what we're doing, and to have us to have to move towards repentance and ask God to help us change those flesh patterns, right? And conviction can never be removed because we can't have communion with God. That's the lie that often is permitted, and it's huge today in the church, that I can have communion with God, intimacy with God, walk with God, if I am not being convicted on a regular basis by the Word of God, by the truth of God. In coming into greater clarity with my flesh patterns and getting free from those things so that the Spirit of God and the fruit of the Spirit can define my life, right? All right, so let's dive in. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Paul says this, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." And that's how he defines this, a yoke of slavery being the burden of the law. In other words, fall back under religion. I got to do this. I got to do this. And we judge each other by, oh, they're doing that. And, well, they're doing that. And I must be better than them. And this permeates us more than we'd realize. Comparison, judgment, not giving grace to each other. Paul says this is a yoke of slavery. And he also, the yoke of slavery is over here where I don't take my sins seriously, my flesh patterns, that impedes my communion with God. And my flesh patterns have an adverse effect on the community. They bring division. They destroy marriages. They destroy relationships. They destroy all kinds of things, right? And he goes on, he says, look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, so these false teachers were coming into these churches and saying, oh, come on, no, you must be circumcised, you know, so that, again, that was God's law, so this is something that you must do, right? And so Paul said to them that, look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. You miss the gospel completely. If we start saying what I do in obeying the law is what makes me right and loved and acceptable before God. And folks, we all have been impacted by this more than we'd ever realize. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. In other words, you're going to put yourself under the law, then you got to be perfect in the law. You can't be wrong in one way. Otherwise, you won't be accepted by God. You're severed from Christ. You who would be justified by the law, you've fallen away from grace. You've missed it. And you're putting that upon people. You've fallen away from the power of God's hand, his mighty grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for this hope of righteousness. Everything that God promises right in Christ for us. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor circumcision counts for anything. Listen to this. But only faith working through love. What counts is, am I trusting Jesus to be my covering, to take care of the sin issue in my life, the justice issue, to make me right before God? You were running well. Come on, church. He says, you were running so well. He says, who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from him who calls you. A little leaven, remember, leaven's the entire lump, right? A little lack of truth inside the church or in our soul, a little lie. Man, it's like leaven, man. It just grows. If that lie in our life is not, and we know this, don't we? Just anybody who's in any kind of counseling work or anything, we know that if a little lie gets into us and it stays festering, it grows and it can put us in bondage and keep us in bondage for a lifetime, right? A little leaven, right? Impacts, right? Leaven's the whole lump. I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view and that the one who is troubling you, he's talking about the false teachers, will bear the penalty, whoever he is. But if I, brothers, still preach circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been removed. The cross is offensive in many different ways, right? If I'm an intellectual, the cross is offensive because what it tells me is I have to lay my intellect down, right, and trust as a child what God has done for me. And that's an offense. And that was to the Gentiles, it says in 1 Corinthians, right? The intellects, the philosophers. But to the Jew, it's an offense. Why? It's a stumbling block. The cross is a stumbling block to them because religion, no, it's what we do. It's the law. It's Moses. We gotta do something for it. We gotta earn that thing. It's an offense. Verse 12. I wish those who unsettle you would just emasculate themselves. Just chop it off. That's in the Bible. Why, man, it doesn't sound very loving. That's how serious Paul is on this issue. Those who are corrupting you, I just wish they'd go all the way, right? And just end it, right? Just go all the way. And throughout church history, some have actually done that. So, whole nother topic. So, what Paul's saying here is for freedom, he sets you free from the law. Don't miss that. Don't buy the lie of what you do, right, is going to somehow make you more acceptable before God. It is only the faith in Jesus, that's the gospel, in him and him alone that brings salvation and who in our identity before him. And when that gets a hold of a person's heart, do you realize what that does on the horizontal plane? It means it opens up the genuine love, because if this is not understood, you know, there is no form of love that is not corrupted. Because if I'm not secure in my maker and how he sees me and how he loves me, you know what? I'm looking for love with all of my relationships and how I treat everyone else. And this is typically, right, the way life goes, what we struggle with. Verse 13. He makes a transition here. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom, here it is, as an opportunity for the flesh. But through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you're not consumed by one another. In other words, watch out for your flesh. Don't use this grace to give you a soft, cheap, a grace approach to understand the magnitude of still, I got to bring my flesh patterns. I have to bring my sin tendencies right before God and let the grace of God and the Spirit of God transform me. Otherwise, I'm bringing great division, great harm. And when the flesh gets riled up, folks, it is like a wildfire. It destroys homes. It destroys relationships. That's the cause of every bit of wrong in the world. It's this flesh that we all have, It's my selfish desires versus the desires that the Spirit of God has inside my heart. And he goes on, but I say to you, listen to this promise. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Let me say it again. This is a promise from God to you. Walk by the Spirit. Lean into the power of the Holy Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. There is no bondage. There is no darkness. There's no flesh pattern. There's no evil. There is nothing that the Spirit of God, if we lean into, will not break. Will not break. That's the promise of the gospel. That's the transformation Jesus came to do. He came to set free. And you look at his life and how he ministered to people. He didn't just minister, right, the truth of the forgiveness of their sins. He ministered to their entire body. He set them free. And that's what he desires the gospel to do in this day and age. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other. This is the battle going on inside us. To each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. The desires of the flesh want to keep you in bondage. The desires of the Spirit are trying to draw us to God, to communion with God. And the Spirit moves in us with conviction. The Spirit of God primarily begins in our life with convicting us. And folks, you know, that's that's one of the primary reasons for reading and preaching the Word of God. It's to bring conviction of the Holy Spirit. And to bring that conviction, because it's not until conviction comes that we have change. Our life change happens in our life. And again, the communion with God doesn't happen until there's conviction. Of to realize, Lord, I hear your word. And Lord, I'm not doing that. Or that's, I'm still in bondage to this or to that. And please help me. Holy Spirit, come and change. I can't. And again, here's the tendency. Here's where it goes. Is when I start to get convicted, what do? I got to go do something. I can do this. I can muster up in my own strength. This is fleshly discussion. This is the way man does things. Just have a little more self-help, just a little more bucket up and you can do it. But we know that's not the case. Real freedom comes when we learn to lean into the Holy Spirit. I can't do it. I have to come to a place of surrender. Lord, I can't do it. I can't love that person like you call me to. Lord, I can't get rid of this tape, this destructive thinking. I need you, Holy Spirit, to come and set me free. Convict me, let me repent, and come and give me the strength for this, right? Verse 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Being led to the Spirit is going to see the fruit of the Spirit. There's no law that you have to put up for someone to love and joy and peace. There's no laws. If people are living like the fruit of the Spirit, we don't have to have laws. You get that? If we all just said, you know what, the non-fruit of the Spirit, everybody just do that. Everybody get that. You know what? Mankind has never been able to do it. That's the whole purpose of the Old Testament. It's the whole history of the world. We can say love, love, love all day long. But you know what the problem is? No one has the power to do that. Unless they call upon the Holy Spirit. But when the Holy Spirit inside a church, there is no need for laws. There's no need for in a household, right, where the fruit of the Spirit is the primary thing everybody's seeking and going after. There's no need for dad or mom to lay out, here's the family rules. It just happens. Because God and the Spirit is in control and not my flesh, right? But if you're led by the Spirit, no longer under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. And so here, Paul just gets into one of his summaries of, here's the destructive. He lists a list, but he keeps going on. These are just some things that were destroying the church in Galatia and have destroyed churches and communities and the world from the beginning of time. And so the flesh, this is what the flesh, unbridled, what it brings into the world and into our environments. Now, the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality. They destroy intimacy. They destroy the ability to have healthy family, healthy relationship. Idolatry, sorcery, that's using drugs to worship God and other things. Enmity, strife, anger, jealousy, fits of anger, right? Rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy. These are all the works of the flesh. And they're destructive like a wildfire, right? Envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. They destroy community. Every one of those destroys community, destroys healthy relationship. And we have to have laws, don't we, in our country? right? We have to have laws on the books. We have to have police officers, everything, what? To bridle the works of the flesh. We don't have police officers and laws in our country bridling the fruit of the Spirit. There's no need for it, right? And he goes on, this is beautiful, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. It's joy, it's peace, it's patience, it's kindness, it's goodness, it's faithfulness, it's gentleness. I'm working on that one myself. Self-control. Against such thing, there is no law. Freedom. This is what God desires, and he desires his church family to move into these things and to live by the fruit of the Spirit. But you can't do it. I can't do it. I can't go and just say, I'm gonna do this. That's under the law. Good luck with that. Your flesh will just take over. You'll find yourself in all kinds of flesh patterns, not in the fruit of the Spirit. Right? Against such thing, there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So not only God does the first work through Jesus, he makes us right once and for all, stamped, free, stamped right before God. My standing is not my works or anything else. And he has crucified, right? Me, I have died with Christ. I'm a new man. He's crucified this old man. The old man that was away from God, separated from God, is dead. The new man, the new creation is alive. But then there's a responsibility on my part. This is talking about those who know Jesus, those who have been saved and know that it's his grace that they stand before him, not the law or anything else, is that there's a requirement. It says that those who belong to Jesus, they have now crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. In other words, that we, because of what Jesus has done now, there is this work of fleshing out the work of the cross in my life, of taking my flesh patterns and letting the Holy Spirit come and bring freedom into my life. This is, and we're going to see, let me read on. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. There it is. He's called you into a whole new life. He's saved you into a whole new life, not in bondage to your own flesh, not just trying to buck it up and try to make things happen, but he's saved you into a life of dependence on the Holy Spirit, one that you learn to walk in communion with God and learn the power of the Holy Spirit, and so the fruit of the Spirit would come alive in our lives. That's real freedom. And then the working out of this in the body of Christ. We've been talking about what it is to be a faith friend. Here it is. Brothers, this is Galatians 6:1. Brothers and sisters, if anyone is caught in any transgression, what Paul's talking about, there are two things he's talking about. Either trying to put yourself back under the law and impose that on others, or taking a cheap grace approach and just kind of letting the freedom of grace, right, give you an opportunity, give us an opportunity to just kind of take a low view of sin and not being worried about the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, anyways, caught in any one of these kind of transgressions, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch over yourselves, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Who's he talking about? Who's spiritual? He defines, and we go back to 1 Corinthians on this, he who is spiritual is he who is led by the Spirit of God. He who is spiritual, he who is moving towards spiritual maturity, is he who understands freedom from the law, understands the gospel, and is living under that, and has a very secure identity in Christ Jesus of where he gets his identity, or her, and the love of the Father, and someone who is constantly understanding and open to the conviction of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, right, to understand daily repentance, daily asking the Holy Spirit to come and to form me into the likeness of the Holy Spirit. And to let the fruit of the Spirit come alive. That's he or she who is spiritual. And he who understands these things and who's understanding walking by the Spirit and keeping step with the Spirit is to come alongside others who are still in bondage to the law, or still in bondage to the flesh, and to come in gentleness and love and to bear each other's burdens. So we are to involve, our way of loving each other in the body is encouraging each other to make sure that we are free, and living by the gospel. Make sense? And folks, I tell you, when those two things take hold in a person's life, the freedom of the law, freedom of religion, understanding the magnitude of what Jesus has done for us freely, and then understanding, right, my flesh, and understanding and having even a desire to come to church and to, or even in our devotion, and God convict me, speak to me, reveal the flesh patterns that are holding me back, that are bringing destruction in my relationships, in my household, in my church, and let me walk free. Man, that's where the real freedom comes, right? In those things. So let me try to just close our time out here and just flesh this out. I think in just maybe, okay, what does this look like on a daily basis? I've shared this story before, and I usually share this story when I'm sometimes when I'm sharing the gospel, especially with young people. But let me tell you the story just briefly, and then I'm going to apply it to what we just read here in the gospel. But when I was in high school, we lived at that point in Northwest Houston. It was right on the edge of rural community and the growth of suburbia. So we had kind of the best of both worlds. We lived in suburbia, but right at our back door was rural, and we had plenty of roads and dirt roads and country to have fun in. And so it was this wonderful time, you know, of kind of having a little nice suburb. Had the best of both worlds right there, right? And so we would always cross that line because we had what? A lot more freedom out in the sticks, right? And, you know, this is back in the, we had a lot of fun, but also, that fun, you know, it gets out of control. So one specific evening, and we did this out in those roads because nobody was back there. We thought it was safe, but this one incident actually, and it wasn't just one, but it was the only one that we got caught. And I personally got caught because I had a mother who was a godly mother who prayed a terrible prayer that was, God, do not let him get away with anything. And that has been fleshed out in my life, as you're going to hear on this situation. So this was a bunch of football players and a bunch of people with about four different cars, football players on the top of the cars holding onto the rack, and a game of who could throw the most eggs and hit the other car while you're driving Mach 2 around dirt roads. And honestly, it was a heck of a lot of fun. But we thought, hey, this is safe. Nobody's out here. We're not going to hit anybody. But all of a sudden, out of nowhere come these lights. And amazingly, true to my mom's prophecy, I was the only one that got a ticket that evening when there was four other cars involved. And the ticket was reckless driving. And that got me a day in court, actually. So I show up at court in my Sunday best. And, of course, you know, mom, dad, had to be with me. It's a minor. And Sunday best, showing up at court. And back in that day, at least in this court, it was juvenile court, and the place was just packed with other kids. Some had parents, some kind of uncle, who knows what it was. And you sit there, and the judge actually reads your rap sheet in front of everybody and gives you a sentence in front of everybody. And maybe they still do that. I don't know. And because that scarred me, and fear of God set in that moment. I don't know if it was God or mom, dad, one or the other, or they were in cahoots together on that thing, right? But so what happened was they went through this whole thing, and here the deal is, and I'll come back and make the analogy, but sitting there, I'm in my Sunday's best, I'm looking around. What a bunch of hoodlums. Man, look at that guy. That's like a gang member, man. I mean, come on. I don't deserve to be here. I'm a good guy. Not reckless driving. Pfft, it's no big deal. These guys, they deserve to be. This is their life. This is where they really belong, right here, right? It's just going through my head. Folks, just take that in. That's how we sit in church, right? Right. Come on. I didn't do anything that bad. Surely, that dude looks really bad up there, man. Oof. And he goes through, and some of it was pretty bad. You know, there was even further people had to go to further court, further juvenile court, further even possible juvie, whatever you call it, you know, jail and all that. I'm like, and I'm W, so I have to, I'm there waiting to the end, you know, and I'm saying, come on, come on, come on, just give me one, let's get through this. Stephen, guy pulls, you know, the judge and reckless driving, and he goes down, and he looks at me like this, and he goes, son, do you realize the maximum penalty on this is jail time? I'm like, what? Yeah, mom and dad, dude, they're just like, whoo, you know what I mean? And, you know, in your mind, right? Surely, wait a minute. What are you talking about? I don't, it was just reckless driving. Look, these guys, they deserve like the ones that juvie and blah, 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 right? And so what you had to do is you had to go up. I don't know why some went forward and some didn't, but anyway, I mean, it was one of those moments, right, where you're like, and folks, this is conviction. This is conviction. This is where transformation in the gospel really starts working. Is where I'm hit, where each of us are hit in a situation where we realize, ooh, I'm caught here. I'm exposed. and what's going to happen, and it's all out there, and where, how's this going to go down, right? And I have a choice at that moment to either stay in my defensive, oh, come on, I'm in my Sunday's best, I'm whatever it is, or what do? I can plead for mercy, right? Go forward. We're talking, and this is no lie, and this guy, you know, and this guy was brilliant too. How he handled these youth, I look back on the things I can remember. I don't know if we do this anymore, but we need to do it because it was effective. And he said, he looked at me, he kind of leaned over so nobody else could hear, and says if the best I can remember was, the officer that wrote you that ticket is not here. And my rap sheet was here, and he put a stamp on that thing. You're free to go. But son, let me just tell you something. I better not see you in this courtroom again. Now tell me, I had my rap sheet stamp free. How do you think I turned around and walked back? I have a choice. Walk back, you bunch of hoodlums. You're getting what you deserve. You think that crossed my mind at all? First thing I did is I turned around, and my mom and dad's eyes were about as big as you could ever imagine. They're like, oh my God, is he going to jail? What is going on? And I'm telling you, I went out of that thing. Is, you think I had any thought at that moment of comparison of who did what worse or anything? What consumed me in that moment, do you think? Woo! I mean, wow, freedom. I love freedom. I'll never do it again. I mean, consumed me, right? All right. Here's the deal. Here's the power of the gospel, is that we sit with our rap sheet, because we all got one, by the way. And remember, maybe nobody knows what's on you. And we all have this. We all have things on rap sheet that no one knows about, but only God. And we know that, right? Because that's called a conscience. And a conscience did not evolve. It's spiritual and it's powerful. We all have a rap sheet, and we sit because, you know, the day of court is coming. And because that's this other thing universal in all of us, which is sin, shame, and guilt. And oh, you know what? When shame and guilt is not covered, what happens? Just look at what's happening in our culture. Look how people treat each other. Look how people talk to each other. That is what it looks like when there is no covering for shame and guilt, right? And it's even worse when it's inside the church, right? And so we sit there on our day of court, our day of reckoning, right? And we're in our Sunday's best, and we're looking around, and same thing. We're like, whoa, I don't deserve to be here. I'm pretty good. And man, look how nice I look, and look how dirty you look, and how messed up you are, right? That person, man, I wonder if that was a murderer. I wonder if that was this or that, right? Huh. I'm feeling a little better about myself. Man, I look better. I feel better. I'm not. You know, folks, I'm just laying it out. This is called flesh pattern. It permeates universal humans. This is what we do. We compare ourselves. And when we're pressed into an issue of having to deal with our stuff, man, the quick response often, well, I'm not as bad as them. I didn't do that. Or we play the blame game, right? We play the blame game. Now it's your fault. Right? Now, if those guys wouldn't have pressured me into driving that car, it's their fault I'm here in court. Right? They made me do it, right? And then that day, that rap sheet is there, and that's how I'm thinking. And then I'm called up front, right? Rap sheet's laid down. And here's the gospel. God looks at us, and you know what? I deserve the fullest extent of the law, because that's justice. I deserve to pay a penalty for what my infraction. The glory of the gospel is all of my past, present, and any future infraction. God takes that. He looks at me, and he stamps that rap sheet free. And it's not just with some human stamp. That stamp is the blood of Christ free. My son has died to change all heaven and earth, right, to take care of once and for all the justice issue. He paid your price. Free. Now, what do I do with that? Free. It's stamped every bit. And this is past, present, and future. All my rap sheet, everything, even the unknown things. Now, folks, here's something beautiful. I talk about communion and conviction. Here's the communion piece of this. Please listen. Is if I live under the law, and if either way, under the law, or if I live under here, just take a light view of sin, the conviction of the Spirit, you know what happens is my relationship with God is a courtroom. It's not a throne room. It's a courtroom. Because I feel guilty. And you know, there's way too many people who call themselves Christians, and their view of God, how they really feel about the relationship with God, is they feel like they're in a courtroom, like at any moment, something's going to be exposed and God's going to call me out. That's not freedom. That's not living under the gospel. Boom, free by the blood of Jesus. Past, present, future, any sin. And now it's a throne room. And what does Hebrews 4 tell us? Boldly, because of what Jesus has done, approach my throne. Boldly come here. Boldly step in front of my presence. It's a place of love. You're accepted. You're a child of God. And the only thing, there's not any rap sheet between us. It's free. And Jesus is at the right hand of that throne. He's paid away. His arms are open wide. But now here's more of the stories. I got to take this. I got to do something with this now. Here's my salvation. Here's my free. I got to go do something with this. And I walk out of that courtroom with this free. And I got to start living. And here's the deal, is I got to put this into work. And here's what happens, is that I start living life and I can just take that thing and I can kind of hide it. I can kind of not think about it. And I can go and continue to drive recklessly. I can continue to go do my flesh patterns, and my rap sheet keeps adding up. And what I see on my rap sheet is all of a sudden that free thing just, I don't focus on it so much, but I start just racking up my rap sheet. That's over here. Right? That's taking God's grace for granted. Right? Or I can start living like, wow, free. I want more of that. I want more of that. I want God. I want more of that. I start living it. And when I start thinking about things as Lord, give me conviction about this stuff. I want to change. I want to live radically free. Because if I don't, if I focus and just keep racking up my rap sheet, you know what happens is I put myself back in the courtroom. Though God's stamped it free, I'm still back in the courtroom. Right? And I can even be in that courtroom even as one who's been stamped free and still look around and go, oh, you know, and not live with redeemed eyes, how I love others, right? And folks, there's nothing like this next part. I'm free. And because I'm free, Lord, let the fruit of the Spirit, let it take hold in my life, right? Dirk, y'all come on up. Folks, does that make sense? Does that make sense? That's right. Is to know that that rap sheet, it's been stamped once and for all. I got to do something with it. And there's too many believers today that free stamp on my rap sheet is, it's just kind of hidden away. It's not taken advantage of. He's given us that to go and live a new life, to experience more freedom, right? And so I just, as I pray, let's just take some time. Let the Lord and the Holy Spirit speak to us this morning about his glorious gospel. As we prepare our hearts to come to communion, but all through the scripture, my preparation to come to communion should always be being open to conviction. Lord, what do you need to speak about? What do I need to change? Who do I need to go talk to and make right with? Who do I need to pray for? Who do I need to, you can't come to the table without conviction. Right? As 1 Corinthians 11 says, I've got to evaluate, examine the body of Christ, examine, Lord, where's the gospel in this? Am I holding anything back? That's the preparation. And communion opens up as conviction and communion work together. Freedom, folks. Radical freedom. And then the next step for us, folks, if we know people who are stuck under the law or stuck into the flesh, the power of the flesh, is it tells us, right, we're to bear each other's burdens. Love means that we're to step in each other's lives and to pray and to help move each other, to keep each other gospel-centered, right, in the love of God. and to do it with gentleness and with love. Right. Father, we love you. We praise you. Holy Spirit, we ask that you'd come now. Lord, we know you've been at work, but we ask you specifically, Lord, to sink the truth of your word in our hearts. Convict us, God. It's the only way that we experience your transformation and move deeper into communion with you, God. Lord, overwhelm us with your gospel. Father, I pray if anybody's here, and maybe that's the first time they've ever really heard the simple, profound gospel that, Lord, you open their heart. May they just ask someone to pray with them, to receive this goodness, the best. There's nothing like it. Lord, we want to walk in freedom. Let this be a house. Let this be a church family that lives in that freedom, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this message. To hear other messages or learn more about Crossroads Church, visit our website at ccaspen.com.